this time, had the war in Europe started?
No, it started while we were in Mandalay. And we had a radio. We bought it in Gibraltar. And then we heard about the war starting. And then the sinking of the Athenia with the school children. That really upset me. But it seemed so far away that it wasn't touching us. Except we wrote home and more often and listened every night to the radio.
Did you ever feel that you might be affected, that the war would spread to the Far East?
No, we thought nothing would happen. Stupid of us, I know. But the thing was, I don't know, like a fool's paradise. But we hung on to the news and we were grateful for letters from home. And then Alan told me one day, he says, you don't say a word to anyone, but he says, things aren't going too good. He said, the Americans are getting worried about the Japanese. They're acting damn funny. And he said, he'd been chatting to somebody. And he said, but you don't say a word. And I never did. I never did. But the next thing was Pearl Harbor. When that happened, and we knew we were in for it then. And they started eventually to bomb Rangoon. And
where would you have been at that time? Had you gone back?
Back to Mamio. Alan was regimental sergeant major then. He'd been promoted. And we lived in the sergeant major house, a lovely big house. It was a big double house. We'd had big white gates to share. But each house had a side gate where we could get out and go cycling on what we wanted to do. And there were very good roads around the barracks. We did a lot of cycling. Ian had a bike of his own, little bike, and we used to go cycling in the evening and so on. But I have to remember now. One Sunday morning, I'd had an early game of tennis, and I'd come back, and I was in the bath, my clean clothes on a chair, and I bolted myself in, and I was really enjoying this bath when I heard a roar of planes, and I thought, good Lord, what's this? And I stood up in the bath and lifted the net curtain, and I saw the palm trees going over. I thought, oh, it's only a strong wind. Got back in the bath and soaping myself. And then I heard Alan running up the path. Where are you, Bess? I said, I'm in the bath. Well, for God's sake, get out quick. It's an air raid. I said, oh, no. Yes. So, and he pounded upstairs and banged on the door. Come on, get out. I said, wait a minute. And I've often laughed about it. I jumped out of the bath, had a quick rub with the towel, and then I tried to put my panties on. The Celanese stuck to the wet leg, and I couldn't get it on. I was trying my utmost. He says, what on earth are you doing in there? I said, I can't get my pants on. He said, look, come out. No, I said, I can't. He said, look, there's my big army greatcoat here. He says, come out, and I'll put it on. He says, grab your clothes off the chair and come on. He said, they might drop a bomb any minute. Oh, dear. So I came out, and I had, with his greatcoat on, had to put my clothes in my hand, and he grabbed my arm. He says, Ian's, where's Ian? I says, oh, he's gone out on his cycle with the other boys. Oh, God, I hope he'll come back quick. And he didn't come back. But I went tripping down the path, the main path, and it was all pebbles. And in my feet, bare feet, it was agony. But I managed it. And then the soldier, there was an armed soldier allocated to each slit trench. And I asked him if he'd turn his back while I got dressed. He says, yes. And then, of course, the where he was, where was Ian? Eventually, he'd gone out with Keith, Lot's boy, who was about 4 to 5, and he used to follow Ian round like a little lapdog. And apparently, they'd left the bike somewhere. And Ian came, and he was so out of breath. And Lot was living with me at the time, which he'd given her bungalow for the Gloucester families when they were evacuated from Rangoon. And she'd had a bath before me, and she was dressed and everything. But she said, oh, Bet, where is Keith and Ian? I said, I don't know. Eventually Ian came rushing up. Oh, out of breath, couldn't speak for ages. And he said, ah, come back, Daddy. I promised you if the air raid went, the siren went, I would come straight home. So Lot says, where's Keith? He says, oh, the bigger boys wouldn't let him come. They've made him stay in the trench. And I says, good show, good show. He says, I'm sorry, Bess, it was my fault. He said, I don't care where you are. Once the siren goes, you get home as fast as you can to your mum. Do you understand? Yes, we did. But that was a day to remember. And that was the beginning of the end, really.
You were saying, Margaret, that the families had come up from Rangoon,
oh, yes,
the Gloucesters.
Yes,
so
yes.
Did that mean that Rangoon had fallen before this?
Rangoon had been heavily bombed, and so had the barracks. And the RSM's wife, Mrs. Niblett, she was in hospital. She'd just had her baby. She'd had several miscarriages. And this one, the baby, with a little girl, and they were thrilled. But she wasn't fit to travel. So when the other families were put onto the train, she and two others, who are not fit to travel, the colonel's wife stayed behind, and the colonel's shooting brake was there waiting with an armed escort. And Mrs. Niblett, I've got it all written down, she said that her husband, it was decided they must get the women away. And on Christmas morning, he went to the hospital, collected her and the baby, and brought her back to her quarters. And then he had to dive off. And she said, I sat there, and then all of a sudden, the sirens went again. So her bearer, who was very good, come on, Mum, sir, and he took her arm and helped her towards the slit trench, which was fairly near. And she said, before I got to the slit trench, I saw this Jap plane peel off and come down. She said, I knew he was coming for me. So she said, well, my heart was in my mouth. So she said, I wrapped the baby's shawl around her head, carefully around her head, and I threw her in the slit trench. And then I jumped in after her. And the bearer ran then, got them to the trench. He promised her husband he would do so. She said, and as I jumped into the trench, the bullets came across 6 inches down from the top. And she says, the baby was covered with soil. Myself too. But she said, it went off then. And she said, I picked the baby up, and her little face dirt was in her mouth. She says, I cleaned her mouth out with my handkerchief. I cleaned her face up. And she said, I cleaned her face up. And she said, we were there. And after a while, the bearer came. She says, the old care hadn't gone. So the bearer came out. And she says, do you know, Mrs. Woodland, I had bully bee sandwiches for my Christmas dinner. She says, my husband didn't come back. She says, he didn't even get those. And so when it was dusk, she said, the car came with the colonel's wife and these other women and the armed guard. And she says, we were sent straight up to Mamia, which was an overnight journey. It's a long, long way. And so when she arrived, one of the women in the bungalow, Lot's bungalow, Mrs. Gibbs, CSM's wife, she came running over to say that Mrs. Niblett had arrived with the baby and would we like to come over and meet her. So Lottie and I went over and met her, and she told us, and we could see how exhausted she was. But we said, well, we'd peep at the baby, thought she was lovely, and then we invited the three ladies to come and have coffee with us in the morning. So that was that. And next morning early, there was a pounding on the door, and Mrs. Niblett was there with the baby. And she said, I'm awfully sorry, but could you tell me how to get to the hospital? The baby's hot. She's now worried sick about her. So we organised a gharry quickly, and it took her up to the hospital. One of her friends was with her, and they kept the baby in, but it died the next day. Apparently the soil in Burma, in Rangoon, round Mingledon, is foul. And when my husband used to play hockey, he was a great hockey player, if he had a scratch, knocked any skin off, he had to go straight up to the hospital and have an injection. Tetanus. Well, you see, the poor baby didn't stand a chance. And under my bungalow, well, Lot and I's bungalow, there were lots of wild violets. So we collected a bunch of them and put them together, because they have to be buried very quickly. And we went to a funeral, and it was terrible. And then they came round, and Lot and I had the task of going round all the quarters and finding out the ladies who were pregnant, because the army authorities wanted to know how many pregnant ladies they had on their hands if there was a sudden evacuation.